Welcome back. State representatives have introduced a bill into the House seeking to make charitable or crowdfunding bail organizations illegal in Kentucky. Saw this story last night on Wave 3.
As we bring in one of our favorites, hands down, I'm Alpha, happy to have her broadcasting in this city. It's Natalia Martinez from Wave. Hey, Natalia, how are you? Happy Friday.
I'm good. Happy Friday.
Yeah, listen, we've got the tequila ice down at the house. Susan and I are just counting down for 5 o'clock.
Oh, boy.
hey, tell us about this. Because
House Bill 313.
But first of all, this has been a plague on Louisville, someone murdering someone.
Nationwide.
Nationwide, yeah, for that matter. But I'm particularly here in Louisville where we live. This, along with irresponsible judges sitting on the bench, this has been disastrous for our city. What steps are being made in this bill?
Well, it's an attempt. So there's many other states across the country that are trying to do the same thing and that have already introduced similar bills. Basically, it wants to stop groups like the Bail Project, which is a national organization with a Louisville chapter, and the other group that operates in Jefferson County, the Louisville Community Bail Fund. They want to make that illegal for higher offenses. So what these groups do is they will bond people out, put up the money that they get from donations and from private donors, and pay people's bonds, and then they get out of jail. The thinking behind it is that, you're innocent until proven guilty, and that monetary bonds, disproportionately favor those with money. Because if you've got the same crime and the same bond, but person A has a lot of money, they can pay the bond, but person B who doesn't is stuck in jail. However, the way that these two particular groups have approached bailing people out in Jefferson County, I have found to be problematic at times. Let's start with the Louisville Community Bail Fund. They're the ones that are run by Chanel Helm, who's also the head of the local Black Lives Matter chapter. She's a bit of a controversial figure, even within her own organization. And they have gone in and blindly bailed people out. So they will walk into the courthouse, have a stack of cash, and then off they go. They have bonded out some of the most dangerous criminals in our community. People that already have prior convictions for things like robbery, rape, assault, domestic violence. And they have even bonded out people who have confessed to the latest crime, and never talk to their attorneys, to the prosecutor, to the judge, never do any background on them, come in with $50,000, $100,000 cash, out the door they go. And then there's the Bail Project, who typically, now they do a lot more homework than the other group, but nobody has a crystal ball, right? And sometimes I found that they, too, did not go through every step to make sure that the people that they were bonding out were a good investment. For example, there was a case that I covered with this woman whose husband had a long history of domestic abuse, had a long criminal history of convictions, and she had pictures of marks on her face, bruising. He was arrested for strangulation, which, by the way, is one of the most key indicators before a woman is killed. They came in, $5,000 bond, and out the door he went. Well, they didn't even realize that a judge had an active emergency protective order on this guy when they bailed him out. And I interviewed the leader of that organization, the local chapter, Shamika Parrish Wright, who's also running for mayor. And I said, Shamika, did you know that this guy had an emergency protective order? And the answer was no. They were not even aware that in family court, you could also get an emergency protective order. So all of these things are slipping through the cracks, and the woman who, his ex-wife, was literally sleeping in a closet, scared for her life. Finally, after years of alleged abuse, she comes forward, gets help, gets him arrested, but it lasts for only a couple of months before he gets $5,000 Christmas present, and out the door he goes.
Oh my God.
So this bill is aiming to put a stop to that. And we've seen other cases, like in Indiana a couple of months ago, the bail project had bailed two men out, separate cases. They immediately went out and killed two other people. I've spoken to the mom of one of those victims from Indiana. And so, you know, states are trying to do whatever they can to make sure that whoever is putting a bond for someone has a stake in the game.
Right.
You know, it's not.
Mm.
Yeah. So, so that's what this bill is trying to do. It's the first of its kind that's been introduced. Honestly, I don't know how it's going to go because there are a lot of people that don't want cash bail at all. The ACLU has already stood up against this bill, and so it is going to be a contentious issue, and we'll just have to see how it plays out.
The ability to pay argument is so intellectually lazy. There aren't a lot of wealthy people doing drive-by shootings. And let's just say Bill Gates shot at a cop. He's not going to get $500 bail. He's not going to be held on any bail because of his resources. Bail is designed with your resources in mind.
Right. And, you know, the argument, I guess, would be, and I've spoken to, you know, several judges that are actually concerned about these groups, because it's not that, you know, the money is supposed to keep you in. It's that if you lose the money, if you don't follow the rules according to your you know, probation, let's say, or what, not probation, but let's say when you get out after you get arrested, then you would lose said money. You have a reason to come back to court, to not reoffend, to not, you know, have a gun if you're a convicted felon. You know, that's the purpose of bail. Without that, there is no incentive for you to come back to court. And, you know, the Bail Project says that they have a high success rate and that they have a very low percentage of recidivism, so people coming back after they bail them out. I don't know that to be true here
locally.
Right. And as we know, you know, our violent crime is through the roof. In our jail, it is kind of disproportionate when you see the types of crimes that we're keeping people in for. You know, it amazes me that we have, you know, a homeless person that's in jail for trespassing,
mm-hmm.
But yet we're letting out somebody who just shot, you know, at a innocent driver just to get their car. We're letting that person out, paying for their bail, but yet we've got homeless people and people with mental health issues and people with drug issues staying in jail. It's multi-pronged, and yes, you know, there's a lot of things that are broken in our court system. This bill is an attempt to at least put a stop to one of those issues.
And I certainly hope Frankfurt does the right thing and passes this. And for those that are saying, well, that's not fair, and but feel free. I want to challenge you. Feel free, if you see someone out there, to go ahead and put your own home up for them on bail and say, I will sacrifice my home or whatever. You can do that on your own.
Natalia Martinez, you interviewed her and the two people that do these crowdfunding or situations. And obviously bad things, you just described them, happen after they have bailed people out. Do they have remorse? And did you ask these people, why didn't you start to reorganize your group after some people died,
right,
after you bailed them out,
right,
after you don't know them? Did they say, yeah, we're reorganizing, or they don't care?
They don't care.
No, I mean, they say they stood by their decision to bail that one man out. You know, the Bail Project is a national organization, and I will say that at least they try. They do some of the work. They do pull some records, but there's still people. Actually, let me tell you this: the bill is actually going to be called Maddie's Law.
Yeah, Madeline.
Madeline Proud.
Yeah.
Right. She was an innocent, you know, teenage girl cheerleader in Butler County. And she's driving her little car, and here comes this young man who had, like, something ridiculous, like at least more than a dozen arrests, drugs, theft, robbery, assault, drugs, and he's on a drugged-up crime spree. spree when he's running and slams into her car and kills this teenage girl. And he had been bailed out by the Bail Project. When I interviewed them about that case, they were like, well, it's unfortunate. It's tragic. We don't have a crystal ball. And I said, exactly.
Right.
So, folks, what do you say? The best predictor of future behavior is past behavior.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
I think that someone who's been arrested over and over and over and over and over again is going to all of a sudden, you know, be an upstanding citizen without getting, you know, treatment or any of that. So this law is named after her, and
it just seems like these people hate the system so much.
I know.
They just don't care what happens after. I get it if it's a 17-year-old with no prior record.
Nonviolent offenders.
Let's bail that kid out. We don't know if he's innocent or guilty. He's 17, 18, 19 years old. He's never done anything before.
If he's 17, though.
Oh, well, yeah. 18 or 19. Yeah, if he's 18, Stanley. 19, whatever it is. If he's young or she's young and no prior record, I get it. Let's get him out of jail. They need to go back to school or whatever until this thing's straightened out. I get that. But blindly going down to the courthouse, that seems insane. Like, who came up with this plan? That, to me, points that they just hate the system overall, well, and they don't care. Let's get them all out.
They're just plain and simple. Yeah. They're just plain and simple 100% against law and order. The end. That's it.
Well, I think that you know, they do want to disrupt the bail system. They don't
right.
believe in a monetary bond. So, yeah, they do want to disrupt that. But even, I will tell you, you know, one of the women who I interviewed for this story, she had been raped so violently that she was in the hospital with a lacerated liver. While she was there, the suspect was texting her saying, too bad you're still alive.
Oh,
and by the way, when you get out, I'm going to kill you.
Oh, my God.
And
oh my
this
God.
Poor girl. And then, you know, police arrest him, our awesome detective. They got the guy. He is in the room. And he calls his mom and says, hey, mom, I'm going to go away for a while. I just raped someone. And that's the guy who then they bail out. And then you know what that guy did? He went, the minute he got out, okay, he started stalking her again. He started stalking her fiancé and sending her fiancé threatening messages. And, I mean, it was immediate, the minute he got out. And so what are we doing, you know?
What are we doing? Yes.
The criminal justice system isn't perfect, but there are lots of criminals that need to be locked up.
Right. The end. Just like JCPS when Marty Polio says, I don't want our schools to be a pipeline to prison. Well, Marty Polio, if they're committing crimes, they need to go to prison.
House Bill 313, otherwise known as Madeline's Bill, in honor of Madeline Trout, 17-year-old Butler High School senior. It's being sponsored by Representative John Blanton and Representative Jason Nemes. What do you think? Last question here. We'll move on with Natalia. You think this will go through or some changes will be made?
I think that some changes will be made. I think it is a big step in the direction of eliminating these groups. But here's the challenge, and here's where I'm very curious to see how this bill is going to address this. When I pulled the documents from the courthouse to see, you know, who they're bailing out, they no longer, I had a big issue with this, and particularly with the people who process the bonds. Mm-hmm. The forms that they're supposed to fill out are not being filled out. They're blank. All it is, it says the Bail Project and a scribble of a signature. There's no way to even hold the person who is bonding such, you know, suspect out. There's no way to even know who they are.
That's odd. A government official being a lazy ass.
Well, so then also, and for the Louisville Community Bail Fund, they, you know, they don't even put the name of the organization on the paperwork.
Pathetic.
They put the name of the individual who's bonding so-and-so out. So how are we going to know whether it's a charitable organization that's bailing somebody out or if it's an individual that is bailing somebody out? I honestly, I hope that there's a way that this bill will address that, but I do think it's going to be a very difficult thing to do so, unless the forms for, you know, for the bail, for the bond process change. But, folks, they're not even being filled out. So let's start there, right?
Natalia, can we find out who's donating to these people? Just in case they're corporations, so we can...
Some of them are crowdfunding. You just go to the site and just donate.
And the problem is, with the Louisville Community Bail Fund, they're one of the organizations that's under the umbrella of Black Lives Matter Louisville. Hmm. Now, that's separate than the National Organization of Black Lives Matter. This organization here locally is run by a woman, Chanel Helm, and all of that information is they're an LLC, so it's not something that we can obtain records for because it's a private corporation, and you know they said so publicly on during press conferences. This is money that we've obtained through people giving it to us, and we don't have to tell you a thing. And you know what? It's true. They don't.
Keep up the good work, man. Keep up the hammering. I saw the story last night. Had to have you on today. Keep it up, and we'll do a follow up. Natalia Martinez from Wave 3. Have a great weekend.
Yeah, the system is pathetic and the system is broken. Come on, Frankfurt, do the right thing. Gets me so uptight, I need my CBD.
You need a bottle of it.
Get me to up and smoke. Listen, if you don't know the benefits of CBD products, get on your Google machine, type around. Come on, it's a Friday. You'll need to work today. Do your own investigative journalism like Natalia Martinez, and then you'll run. You won't walk to your neighborhood up and smoke. Susan and I use it every single night. We use the tincture, but they have all kinds of different brands and different delivery methods for you, including CBD gummies. They're the experts, and they know what they're doing, and they're going to help you get the right CBD product for you and your family. Go to smokeonline.com. I'm going to find out what our money's doing with Courtney Dunhoe in just a couple of minutes. Hang out.
WHAS.
Yes, nice to mole you. Meet you. Nice to meet you, mole. Don't say mole.
Bowl.
I said mole.
Bowl.
Stop.
Bowl.
Bowl.
John Bowl time right here.
Bowl.
Bowl. Bowl. John, did you ever have a nickname in high school or in college?
Smoka.
Smoka Bowl.
Smoka Bowl.
No, that was that's what others came up with. Any reference going on?
It's better than toilet.
Sure, yeah. There's a lots of stuff to do in Wisconsin.
Sure, they just hung that on you
just out of nowhere.
Seriously, I was not a big weed guy at all. But they thought that was funny.
It is funny.
You were like the rest of us. You were a high school drunk.
Just like you. Neither was I.
I grew up in Wisconsin. It was all beer.
Hey, John Bowe, what about this new Wave logo, man? It looks like the old Kroger logo.
Yeah, you got a new logo. That's big time around that corporation.
I thought it looked like NASA time I saw it.
No, it does. I was scrolling through and I had my readers on. It looks like the old Kroger where it was just the K and the, you know, the thing.
I don't know, man. And by the way, it's Wave Day here on your show. You just had Natalia.
Yeah, we had to.
Hey. And Tony, you said you committed an error. You said Wave 3. We're not Wave 3 anymore, man.
What is it?
It's just Wave.
Wave. Yeah, it's Wave. Here's the deal. For the last since I've been there, the last 10 years, we labeled everything Wave 3 News.
Right.
That was our brand. Yep. Everything was Wave. We got nasty emails if we didn't say Wave 3 News. You know, if we just said Wave News or just Wave 3, you get a nasty email. But that didn't make sense in a lot of situations because, let's say you're talking about it, and Sunday Night Football, Packers playing tonight, and you can watch it right here on Wave 3 News. You know, it doesn't seem right. Wave 3 News is not where you're watching the Packers. So we're going back to, we're just Wave, and then Wave has lots of different facets, like Wave News, Wave Weather.
Let's go back to the 70s.
And nobody's watching Channel 3.
So. Let's go back.
Technically correct. I mean, it's
1003 for me. Yeah,
hey, yeah. Remember in the late 70s where y'all would have like stickers, heat wave, tidal wave. Yeah, yeah. Bring back the old stuff.
Yeah,
man.
The old stuff is good stuff.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, 32 went away from 32 a long time ago. The time has come. We're all, I don't even know what channel we are now. We're at 6 on cable, right?
Yeah. Some of us still have rabbit ears, okay?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. If you list it, you should see the sports media guides. It's like, okay, here's the different channels on whatever, satellite, cable, store cable, whatever the number is. It's all through there. But hey, if they want you, they'll find you.
Hey, I'm just going to jump straight to it. John Bo, does Russell leave Seattle and go to the Packers?
What?
I want to know if Russell will.
I love it. Hey.
But he's not happy. Okay. Ben's leaving.
He's leaving. He's absolutely 100% leaving. I think Aaron Rodgers is 50-50. If the Packers go to the Super Bowl and or win the Super Bowl, I think Aaron stays. If they have another debacle, if he loses to Tom again at Lambeau in the NFC Championship, he'll probably leave. And I'm betting, I've told Tony this, I think he's going to go to the Steelers because of the way he's been flirting and talking about them. He's not going to Denver. They got nothing.
It sounds like they've repaired the relationship, though. They've done a lot of work. And by the way, Brian Gutekunst, you couldn't be a GM anywhere but Wisconsin with a name like Gutekunst.
This is Falco. He's my favorite in it.
Right. No. So yeah. I mean, if Aaron leaves, and you know that
he's not a free agent, by the way. So yeah.
Oh, he's not.
No, he's not a free agent.
He might come to Green Bay because the one thing we do know. There's one known quantity. We've seen him on a couple of occasions. This dude that they moved up and made Aaron mad about to draft, Jordan Love, is not good, man. Not good.
No, he's not.
I just figured since Ben retired and he wasn't happy there, there'd be some shifting and shit. But I didn't know he's not a free agent. Wow.
Nope, he's under contract still.
But it is surprising, John Bull, or I'm sorry, Smoka. Brett Favre has been gushing on Aaron Rodgers lately like it's like he's an ex-girlfriend. I mean, he is like best playmaker in NFL history. All these compliments. It's weird how Brett has come full circle on his replacement.
That's because he was so hated in the old divorce. And if you remember, I was on Team Favre on that. And
yes, you were.
I admit I was wrong, and came around to reality that Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback I've ever seen with my eyes.
Yes.
In history, and so Favre was hated. And so he knew he had to kind of to play to his base and to be loved again and to be accepted back to Lambeau like he was a couple years ago. He had to play the game. I don't think, Dave, what do you think? I don't think that they still like each other. I think that's all a charade.
Probably. I mean, Brett Favre was so disliked for a while. And remember the whole T-shirts, "We'll miss you, Brent"?
He went to the Vikings!
Yes.
But it came full circle with that Hall of Fame speech. So something happened with Brett, with his family, and he started appreciating things he didn't appreciate before. So, and I think most of it is just lip service with these guys, but it's better.
Yeah, I'm
with Dave. Do you still have that shirt I got you from the Wisconsin State Fair about the Brett Favre thing?
I do.
Of course he does.
Of course I do.
It's in radio.
I never throw away any Packers thing. Oh, yeah. Before we get off the NFL, your thoughts on the NCAA and Mark Emmert, because this one burns me. You have biological men breaking records in women's sports, and the NCAA comes out with a policy. The policy is not biological men can't compete in women's sports. It's each sport has to figure it out. What leadership?
John Bull, as your advisor and manager, as an anchor on Wave, I advise you not to answer this question.
Yeah, no kidding.
All I'll say is, do you remember the last time that this flared up in the Olympics with the Caster Semenya, I think?
Yeah, the weightlifter.
No, the sprinter, the 400 and 800 meter runner who looked more like a man than any of the male athletes, and was destroying the women's field in every race she entered. And then I think they ended up coming up with some kind of rule or something, or some testosterone level or something on the measurements where she can't compete anymore. But the last time this came up, all I remember This Castor Semenya, I believe her name was, from South Africa, destroying everybody.
Are we sleeping on the Titans? I mean,
Okay, that's what I wanted to say. I listened to a lot of the talking heads, the national talking heads yesterday, and nobody mentioned Tennessee once.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everybody agrees that Buffalo KC is the game to determine who's going to the Super Bowl.
Right.
And, oh, maybe the Bengals and Joe Burrow. Nobody even uttered Tennessee's name. Like, what are they doing, man?
I think that is the mistake that they're making. This is because everyone sleeps on one team, and the Bengals are such a cute story because there's only four players that were even alive the last time they won a playoff game, and Joe Burrow is becoming that NFL hero at quarterback guy that everyone's forgetting that the Titans have the better record, that they have got their best player back after being out and dominating teams while he was gone.
They are the one seed.
They're the one seed.
They're the one seed. They got the bye. They get the home field. Here's one problem with Tennessee. I was trying to find a problem with it. I looked at their schedule. Can you make the Super Bowl if you've lost to the Jets? That's my question.
Oh, man.
They lost to the Jets in overtime. I think that's an automatic disqualifier, actually.
Before Kentucky got good in football, you got fired if you lost to Kentucky in football.
Two coaches did this year.
That's right.
Ed Orgeron and Mullins.
Yeah, well, they lost for more of the reasons than that, but that's usually.
I would say this. I watched every snap of every game, even the blowouts last weekend with my daughter. And I would say this, though. There were two noticeable teams that had about 30% greater effort. They looked like they were going to be executed in the locker room if they lost their game. They just played at a way higher level of effort. And those teams were San Francisco and the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't know what you know. Like those two teams, like when you're getting wrapped up, tackled by three dudes, everybody got four or five more yards. Every hit was harder. Every surge on the line was better. The quarterback was playing like he was possessed. Except for Jimmy G, a couple of overthrows, but Allen was playing great. I don't know. I just think that those two stand out in terms of the visual, but we haven't seen Green Bay and Tennessee play yet.
Is the Chiefs at the Bills or the Bills at the Chiefs?
At Chiefs.
At Chiefs. Okay. All right. I think the Bills are going to bully the Chiefs. I think that they're just going to. Kansas City has got a powerful offense, but they on defense, sometimes they look like they don't want to tackle. And the Bills are one of those teams that you can't do that against.
Yeah. I think that the story is going to be it's going to come down to Tom against Aaron again at Lambeau.
Oh.
And you remember the game last year. If Green Bay doesn't surrender a 50-yard bomb with 8 seconds left in the half.
Kevin
that's
King.
Total gag. And then they're not going for it at the end of the game. If they don't do something stupid like surrendering a touchdown on the last play of the half from the 50-yard line, I think Green Bay could do it.
Well, and Aaron was terrible in the red zone in that game. Terrible.
I don't think he gets there, John. I think the Rams beat the Bucs this weekend.
I think so, too.
I think the Rams are on a roll, and I think Tom's got too many injured players. But, again, that's like Saban. You count them out to your own peril because the guy is the greatest quarterback of all time.
I'm pulling for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Shut up, Fauci.
Shut up, Fauci.
So stupid.
Shut up.
All right, John Bull, we love you, buddy. We'll talk to you soon. We'll see you on TV.
Later. See you, bye.
Thank you, John B.
Hey, John Boulder. Hey, guys, gals, let me ask you a question. Are you in love with your vehicle? Well, you should be every single morning when I'm coming into work to work with these two stupid idiots that just grind on my nerves every day when I go to work. I'm still happy because I'm in my Craig and Landreth Jeep Wrangler. I bought a 2019 Jeep Wrangler in 2019. It only had a few thousand miles on it. It had the new car smell, had the new car look, all the bells and whistles, even that new car warranty. You know what it didn't have? Thousands and thousands of dollars of depreciation. Folks, why would you ever buy new when you get the exact same vehicle at Craig and Landreth, only for thousands and thousands less? Go to craigsbestcars.com. Start shopping around. If they don't have it, they'll get it for you. I can promise you. We're talking about guys with integrity. Larry the Legend Craig, man. Joey Craig and my good buddy Jimmy Smith. Louisville or Southern Indiana, buy local, buy Craig and Landreth. They make it easy to do. Go to craigsbestcars.com. This weekend music is on the way, and then also news and Crusade for Children trivia. News Radio 840 WHAS.